Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, dear listener, and welcome back to Owning It, the Anxiety Podcast with me, Caroline Foran. This week, I'm so happy to be joined by actress Tanya Reynolds, who you'll probably know most from her role as Lily, who is just dying for the ride in Sex Education on Netflix. It's coming back to Netflix early next year for season 2, so you'll see her there, and she's got a lot of upcoming work in the pipeline that is all very exciting. But we have really brilliant chats about her experience of anxiety, and Tanya was just so incredibly open and willing to be vulnerable with me and talk about all of the insecurities that are so common to us all. And I know that you'll find it useful and also reassuring in that she says, do you know what, there's just got to be room in the world for people like us, and we don't need to be something else. So there you have it. If you want to get the books, I'll put the link for Amazon in the podcast description. And that's it. Enjoy. Thank you as always for subscribing and reviewing. I'm absolutely so thrilled and a little bit starstruck to be joined here by Tanya Reynolds, my favourite star of Sex Education, which was just an incredible show on Netflix. And I'm delighted. It's not a secret that it's coming back for season 2, is it?
No.
This is not an exclusive on Caroline Foran's podcast. So we got to chatting over Instagram. You somehow stumbled upon my podcast.
Yeah.
How did you find it?
I think it was because of Amber Anderson, yeah. who I was doing a film with her, and she had spoken about it, and she posted about it on Instagram as well, and I listened to it and just thought it was great.
Thank you.
And the one recently about social media was so useful.
Yeah. That's so nice to hear, because you're on your own at home recording.
Yeah.
This is my first time doing it in a proper studio, so you're getting treated to that luxury. And you just think, at best, you know, my mom might listen to it,
yeah.
Some of my friends who have anxiety. Actually, a lot of my friends don't even listen to it, because we've heard it all from you before. So it's really nice to know that it's reaching people, and to reach someone like yourself who would have influence and people will listen to is, you know, just spreading the kind of owning it message, which is my goal overall. So thank you so much for like getting in touch with me. And I feel like once I get talking to someone who says that they're anxious, I feel like I've known them my whole life.
Yeah.
Like two little anxious Annies.
Like they're part of a little anxious club.
Yeah. So your character in Sex Education, we're talking about this before we were recording. She's so unbelievably sure of herself and confident. Was that liberating for you to play as someone who has anxiety and is quite self-conscious, as you said yourself?
Yeah, like really liberating. Like, because she is so, like we said, she's so unself-conscious, and I don't think that she experiences anxiety, like, at least not in the way that we do. I don't think she's an anxious person at all. She just loves herself, and she's so, so sure of herself, but is still, she's still an introvert. Like, she's not like often characters that are supposed to be self-assured and confident are very extroverted and very brash and very loud.
Yeah.
And she's still not any of those things. She's still very introverted, but she's in her own world. But she loves her own world, and she's really happy there, and she has no interest in being part of anyone's clique or...
Yeah, she just wants to have sex.
She just wants to have sex. She just wants a bit of D.
Yeah.
But she, that's so liberating to play because I'm kind of the opposite. Like, I'm so, so anxious. I'm so self-conscious and... But it's been great to play someone who isn't any of those things but still kind of maintain my own introversion because I am obviously incredibly introverted. And
when you step into her shoes as the character, do you feel like you obviously have to become her in the moment that you're playing her? So did you obviously don't feel any anxiety when you're doing it, do you? Because you're so engrossed.
When I'm being her, I'm like, yeah, I'm being her. Like, and she has like such a specific... breath and body and voice for me, and it's part of the reason why I love acting and why I always have, is because it's like a chance to be somebody else.
Yeah,
and
absolutely, yeah.
Even though you bring so much of yourself to the characters you play, like that escapism is just like the best drug.
And the scene in which Otis has a panic attack on the floor, I think I remember watching some videos about the guys talking about it in promoting the show, that they thought it was going to be like a funny scene, but actually it was really emotional too, because that's a very real thing that people have. So for you, was that very real to watch the character, for him and for your character to be like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, I think definitely. And I think as well, like Lily's response to it, because often when people have panic attacks, I think a lot of people don't really know what is happening and don't know what it is. And it is kind of alarming, and you get people kind of going like, what? Yeah. Are you just being overdramatic? Or are you like
having a heart attack? And then that perpetuates
even
more.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, I can't say that I've experienced it, panic attacks that severely. Mm. But again, it's something that has a real self-consciousness about it. Like, you feel the panic rising, and I kind of feel like, oh, I don't want to panic here. I don't want people to see that, because they'll just think that I'm, you know, being attention seeking or like overreacting or whatever. Yeah. And
so the benefits of acting gives you that you can step into the escapism, step into a role that's someone who isn't you, and step outside of yourself for a while. I think that's probably like the draw for most people who act, I'm sure. But there's obviously then some downsides for someone with anxiety, because it's quite fickle and up in the air, and there's no, you don't necessarily know where you're going to be this time next year or next week. Or so do you find that it's sort of, you have to take the good with the bad?
Yeah, like one of the very difficult things about this career path is that there is, you have no very little control over everything. And that is, for me, that is my main source of anxiety, is not having control. And I've tried ever since I was little to have so much control over where my life is going and how I'm being perceived and whatever, and what I'm doing, and I like to know exactly where I'm going and where I'll be next week or whatever. But you can't have that in this job. And I've only been working for the last 3-4 years, and that's something that I'm trying to learn to accept, that I haven't quite been able to relinquish just yet that control. But
and is the fact that things are going well and you're getting these roles and you're prominent and we're seeing your face, and from the outside looking in anyway, it certainly seems like if you decided to go down the career path of being an actor, it's working for you and it's happening for you. Does that ease the anxiety in that it helps a sense of feeling like, oh, is this working out or not? Or no?
No.
Yeah.
Which sounds ridiculous, and I know that it kind of feels ridiculous, but I don't... you just don't, I think with everybody, like you don't see yourself the way that other people see you. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's really common with all actors, but I mean, particularly actors with anxiety, but every actor kind of doesn't feel like they're doing enough and doesn't feel like they're working out. And I never feel like I'm kind of going anywhere. I always feel like
I suppose because every new role is completely new, uncharted territory, so you're kind of back to the beginning again of like having to feel like, am I good enough for this? So that must be a constant challenge as well.
And with every role, it's, I mean, you, when you're not working, you're terrified that you're never going to work, and then you get a job and you're happy for like 5 seconds and then comes the anxiety of, oh my God, I've got to do it. What if I'm shit? What if I can't do it? What if I get sacked? What if I'm awful? What if this ruins my career? Like, it's just never, for me, just never-ending anxiety. And I thought it would get easier as I got older. And in some ways, it is a little bit, but it's getting easier in that I'm really aware of it, and I'm aware that so much of it is anxiety, and so much of that is not real.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm nowhere near expert in handling it, and I still feel incredibly insecure and self-conscious and like.
And work-wise, you talked there about imagining, you know, what if it all goes to shit? What is the worst case scenario for you? Have you, like, do you let yourself think about what's the worst case scenario? Just, is it being out of work?
Oh my God, yeah, I live in the worst case scenario. Like, yeah. That is where I just live in it. I just am constantly fearing it. Worst case would just be not working because it's just with so many actors, like, we do it because we fucking love it. Like,
yeah.
It is just the best thing to be able to tell stories and be interesting characters, and it's the best thing in the world, and it comes at a price, because you know, you get these amazing opportunities like Sex Education, and the price that you pay for being in this career and being open to doing jobs like that is that you risk, you know, never working, or like you risk criticism, you risk not knowing where your next paycheck's going to come from. Like, it's just...
Yeah, it's hugely stressful, but also rewarding if it works out for you.
Yeah.
So take me back to Tanya as a kid. Have you ever known yourself not to be anxious? Was there something that brought it about for you, or has it just always been in your DNA?
I think that I definitely, when I was a teenager, when I was young, I definitely experienced it, but didn't know what it was. I didn't know what it was until a counsellor at university said what it was.
Okay.
And when I was a child, like when I was really little, I don't think I was anxious at all. Like, I don't think I had an anxious bone in my body. I was really, really like happy and excitable and loud and brash and annoying and just like this irritating little theatre kid. And then I got to secondary school. So like you're what, like 11 at secondary school? And I think that's where everything just kind of went a bit to shit.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know at the time. At the time, I just felt really weird and like I didn't fit in anywhere, and that everybody hated me, and that I was ugly and stupid and not very talented. And whereas now I know that that was, so much of that was anxiety. I mean, I didn't have a great time. Kids can be arseholes.
Absolute arseholes. Like, I hated the first year or so until I found my confidence as well. But I think that's probably common to everyone who isn't the popular kid.
Yeah, yeah. If you're just kind of not, I don't know. I mean, I've never quite, it's something that I've always kind of struggled with, because my social anxiety is one of the most difficult parts of my anxiety. So I've always kind of struggled to fit in anywhere because I'm just not socially blessed. and at school, as much as that was the case, and as much as there were, you know, kids, you know, that weren't nice, and I was, you know, picked on like everyone who's not popular is picked on, but it was just so magnified in my own head. And I can now look back and see that as much as that was going on, it probably wasn't as bad as it was in my head, and that was anxiety, and that, you know, I would walk into a room, and if the atmosphere was awkward, I mean, I still do. I think that it's my responsibility that I'm the one making it awkward. If people are laughing in a corner, I assume they're laughing about me.
Do you find that if someone's in a bad mood, you think,
I'm
the reason they're in the bad mood?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's absolutely 100%. Exhausting, isn't it?
Yeah. Even if I've never met them before.
Yeah.
And they just are quite rude. I'm like, oh, what did I do?
I know. And so much of that is, unfortunately, it's so being so hard on ourselves. And that's anxiety that, you know, it's pressure that's coming not necessarily from our social group, but from entirely from us.
Yeah.
So how did anxiety manifest for you? Apart from the thoughts that you're not good enough, or you're not cool enough, you don't fit in, did you have any symptoms of anxiety?
I think that I really started to experience physical symptoms, again, not knowing what they were, when I was in my late teens.
Mm-hmm.
I would, like, in shopping centres, for example, or like restaurants or places that were busy and loud and kind of with lots of fluorescent lights, I would get really, really dizzy. And this happened a lot. And even if I was just like with my mom, just walking through a shopping centre, I would all of a sudden come over really, really dizzy and have to sit down. And like, obviously I went to the doctor a lot about it.
And they never connected the dots?
No, and nothing was wrong. Like, yeah. they never found anything like that was wrong with me. It was, but then no one really said anxiety either. And it wasn't until like much later in life when I was diagnosed, and then I realised, oh, that's what that was. That's what so much of that was. Mm-hmm. And when I was younger as well, I had, I mean, it's not so bad now, but when I was particularly, again, like late teens, I had really bad health anxiety, like really, really almost crippling.
And did that come from something?
I have no idea where that came from, really. I mean, there are so many layers to it, and I'm sure I do know the reason deep down, but like I became really convinced around the age of, oh, I don't know, maybe 19, 20, that I had a blood clot in my leg. Like I was convinced, and I had so many, I was at the doctor's so much, and they had did so many tests, and they were like, there's not a blood clot in your leg. And it went on for like a year, and I was obsessed with it. And I was convinced, and I wouldn't sleep, and I would cry about it, and I was just like waiting. I was just like, well, I'm just going to die, like any day now.
Do you think that you were looking for something tangible that you could connect your anxiety to?
Definitely, yeah.
Because for me, I remember I did all these tests. It was always with my stomach. I never felt well, and I was cameras up, cameras down, cameras everywhere. And when I came out of the procedure, and they're like, no, everything's fine. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, I want something to be wrong, because then I would justify why I feel this way. Because if it's not, then it's just, are you just gone crazy?
Yes, oh my God. And you feel so stupid.
Yeah.
And it was such a, like when I was young, it was just such a, you know, oh, I was just a hypochondriac. Like it was just kind of like...
just brushed off.
Yeah. And wasn't really taking that seriously. And I felt, and I knew that it was annoying. I knew that every time I went to my doctors, I knew that they were like, for fuck's sake.
Here she comes.
Yeah, here she is again. But like I was convinced, like I wouldn't have gone there if I wasn't convinced. And it was, I mean, after doing some cognitive behavioral therapy later on, kind of around the leg era, she kind of helped me realize that I was just living in this loop of like, you know, feeling depressed. And when you get depressed, you feel kind of highly sensitive, and you look for something to be wrong physically that you can maybe control. Because if you are depressed and then you find out that you've got some kind of illness, you can take steps to fix that illness. Mm-hmm. Whereas with something like depression, that's not something that you can quite so easily fix. Like,
yeah. And did you have much awareness of mental health issues yourself as a teenager? Would you have known about anxiety?
Not as a teenager, no, because
we just didn't talk about it.
You just didn't talk about it. And people who ever kind of expressed any kind of issues were just kind of written off as being attention seeky. And I think with women as well, like we belittle our own emotions a lot because we've fed this idea that women are just hysterical and emotional and hormonal. And, you know, you cry about something and people are like, oh, is she on a period or whatever? And like, so you kind of downplay your feelings a lot. And I think I did that definitely.
Did you talk to your friends and family at the time when you were feeling this way about anxiety? Did you say, look, I always think that the worst is going to happen, or I'm worried about my health? Or did you just internalise it all?
No, yeah, internalise it all, yeah.
And at what point did it get to a point where you said, I have to acknowledge this now? Did it get really bad?
Yeah, it did. It got bad when I was in my last year of university, which was the first time I ever saw a counsellor about it, because I was... And it was, you know, my friends at the time were like, you should really see, because a friend of mine was seeing a counsellor for grief because she had just lost her gran. And she was like, mate, you should see a counsellor. Like, it's great. And I'd associated counselling with, you know, oh, I don't need counselling. Yeah. Like, it's for people who have real problems. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have any real problems. And she was like, no, listen, it's like for everyone, like everyone can benefit from going to a counsellor. Like everyone can benefit from talking about
counsellors have to have counsellors.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah. And I think because it was my last year of uni and I had absolutely no idea where I was going, what I was going to do. I knew I wanted to be an actor and I didn't know how to do it. I didn't get into drama school the first time round. So I just felt completely lost. I had absolutely no control over everything, over anything. And it was just, I was overwhelmed with it. And I took my friend's advice and I went to see a counsellor, and she was cracking. I think she was called Barbara.
Barbara. That's amazing, because often people, they're always asking me, can you recommend a therapist? And I can't, because it's so personal. Mm. And it's like, you kind of have to speed date them almost.
Yeah.
You have to go and you have to pay. Well, you don't pay for dating, obviously. But you go and you have, you know, maybe a £60 session. And
yeah.
After it, you're like, well, I barely scratched the surface and I don't know if they really got me. And
yeah.
Then you start again. So it's very hard.
Yeah.
And it's amazing if you get lucky on the first go.
Yeah.
So Barbara helped you identify it.
She did, yeah. And she was exactly what I needed at the time, because she was quite stern, I remember. And she was like, she kind of wouldn't have my, because I'd be like, oh, you know, I shouldn't be feeling like this, you know, everything's fine, I shouldn't be. Mm. And she'd be like, stop fucking saying you shouldn't be feeling things. Like, you can't, like, compare your pain to other people's. Like,
no.
You feel this way because you feel this way. Like, just deal with it, rather than trying to, the more you try and smother it,
yeah,
the harder it's going to get.
And did you find a lot of people saying things to you like, oh, think about how much worse off it could be, and you've got everything
yeah.
going for you, which is obviously just so not helpful.
Yeah, I mean, that's not helpful a lot of the time. But I do try now and kind of use that sort of thread to help myself rationalise, because sometimes I will, as we all do, I will be anxious about, I mean, I'm anxious about literally fucking everything, but like the smallest things, which to me feel like the end of the world. And when I'm having a really anxious episode where I'm really, I don't know, freaking out about something, which to somebody who doesn't have anxiety is really small and manageable, I do kind of have to take a step back and try and look at it with their eyes and go, hang on a second, is this the end of the world?
Yeah.
Is this going to matter in 5 years? Is it going to matter in 1 year? Or, you know, I do think, for me, and this isn't the same for everybody, but for me, I do find it helpful to look at the bigger picture.
Absolutely.
But without belittling the way I feel, and still being understanding with myself and being like, it's totally acceptable and fine that you feel this way, but let's look at the bigger picture. Let's look at...
Yeah, that's the key, though, is to be able to step back and think, okay, asking yourself, will this matter in 5 years, is a brilliant thing to do, because very little will matter.
Yeah.
But also not veering towards being really self-critical and saying it should be feeling this way, shouldn't be doing this. Just it's actually, you're just producing more cortisol, which is, you've got plenty of going on in your body anyway. So do you find it, you must be your own worst critic, are you?
Oh, yeah. Like, I would never speak to another person the way I speak to myself, I don't think.
You'd have no
like,
friends.
I'd have no friends.
And would you look at something like your role, your performance in sex education and be proud of it? I think I did a good job.
I'm really proud of the show, and I love Lily so much. And like, I would say, yeah, but I mean, it's really hard to watch yourself. And yeah, I can't watch myself without thinking, oh, I could have done that so much better. I should have said this like that. I should have done that.
Do you think that's common to all actors?
I think so. Yeah. Most actors I've met are fairly similar. I've rarely met anyone who's really confident with every piece of work they put out.
Yeah.
But then also, time is a great thing, because, you know, I did work 3 years ago, which at the time I would watch and think was awful. And now looking back at it, it's like, actually, that's not as bad as I thought it was. Like, I kind of, with hindsight, I think you can give yourself a lot more credit.
Yeah. And how did things change for you when you were in your counselling with Barbara and you said, okay, I'm an anxious person, it's not my fault that I'm this way, but this is how I operate. Did you feel a weight lift off your shoulder? Did it make a difference?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a big thing when she said about the whole... She said shouldn't... She, like, counted how many times I'd said shouldn't in one session.
Mm.
She was like, you've said that word, like, 29 times. Like, you know, stop. Just you feel a certain way. Just take it, own it. And that was really helpful. And with all the... like cognitive behavioral therapy that I've had since then has just helped to kind of identify a feeling and just not attack myself for it, which when I was younger was such a source of so much more pain, because if you're feeling a certain way and then you give yourself a hard time for it on top of it, you're just like pushing your head down into like the dirt,
yeah,
and you can't get up for air. Whereas if you just say, yeah, okay, I'm feeling like this, and you just accept it and sit
okay.
with it,
mm.
it just, yeah, it does just take the pressure off big time.
I find it helpful to visualize if your anxiety is like a scared little child that mm. needs to be reassured rather than be given out to and told
yeah.
it's stupid. And then, okay, it's a little bit insecure right now for whatever reason. The amygdala, the anxious part of your brain is feeling threatened or mm. something is at risk. And just like bring it along with you, like bring it to your audition, bring it to work that day and be mm. like, it's okay, you're there. I acknowledge that you're there, but you can still perform and function and get through the day. For me, instead of trying to not feel it at all, that
yeah.
was kind of the key.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
When you realized, okay, I'm dealing with anxiety and it all kind of makes sense, did you feel then you had to explain that to your nearest and dearest and your family and friends? Because for me, I think it was one thing for me to understand it, but I needed other people to understand it so that I didn't have to justify yeah. it or explain it. Or if I'd say, look, I'm feeling overwhelmed, they wouldn't be like, what? Why? I felt pressure for someone to reflect back on me that it was made sense and it was okay for me to feel the way I was feeling.
Yeah, at first, I don't think I really did. At first, I still kind of kept everything really close to my chest, just, I guess, out of more anxiety mm-hmm. of how people are going to perceive your anxiety.
Yeah.
And it's only really been recently that I've really started to just say it, and particularly with social anxiety, because I struggle with that really badly. And rather than being in, you know, social situations and thinking in my head like, oh, come on, Tan, like speak more, be louder, be funnier, be more like her or more like him, rather than doing that, and I just try and say, because sometimes I'll be sitting in a group or whatever, or and it's just, I'm just uncomfortable, and I can feel that people are uncomfortable talking to me because I'm so uncomfortable and I'm so anxious. And sometimes, and it's just easier to just go, I'm really anxious right now. I'm really socially anxious. So, like,
yeah,
I'm sorry. And I've done it a few times on, like, set where I've just, on different jobs where I've just, like, had to kind of separate myself. And
you just normalize it by putting it out there.
Yeah. And just going, I'm not rude and I'm not being a dick. I'm just really socially anxious. So,
and do you then feel less socially anxious because people are, like, totally accepting of it?
Yeah, definitely. Because there can be such a misconception that because I'm very introverted and I'm very quiet as well, I sometimes just, you know, will be by myself. I won't kind of, if I walk into a room, I won't announce myself. I won't go over to someone and be like, hey. I will just kind of wait awkwardly in the corner until someone approaches. And I think that a lot of people can think that behavior is rude or whatever, or that you're being stuck up and that you don't want to.
Little do they know.
Yeah, and it's just not that at all. So I've found it easier, rather than forcing myself to try and be somebody that I'm not, to try and be really extrovert and loud and chatty, which I'm just not. I just find it easier to just lay it out there and be like, hey guys, I'm really socially anxious, yeah. So really sorry if you have an awkward chat with me later.
But that's such an annoying misconception. And in my second book, which should be on the way to you, by the way, the two books with your agent, and they're posted on Monday, people assume that to be extroverted means to be confident, or that confidence is like a personality trait. And what I've found, like, I would consider myself a bit of extrovert, a bit of introvert. Like, I can enjoy being around people, but then I get to a certain point where they take energy from me and I charge introverted. And I can be confident in what I'm doing, but not necessarily confident like as an umbrella term. So you can be confident in your skill as knowing Lily and playing Lily if that's what you're doing at the moment. But it doesn't mean you have to be an extrovert. People can be very extroverted and really unconfident, and very confident and completely introverted.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's just like an ignorance, I think, that people think confidence is something you're born with, but it's a skill.
And it's a thing with actors as well. I think that a lot of people assume that actors are really confident and really lively and chatty, and whereas actually so many of us are not. Like, and there's a common misconception that and it happens all the time. Like, you hear stories, people say all the time, like, oh yeah, I met that actor once and he was an asshole. Like, I said hey to him and he just smiled at me, or like, he wasn't very chatty, he kept himself to himself, like, he's such a diva. And you hear stories about actors being divas or stuck up or whatever, when actually, like, they're probably just quiet and shy and not like the life of the party.
Yeah, but that's
people
that's
just
true.
Assume that you...
Yeah, actually, because in fairness, I used to, in my previous role, I would have come over here a lot to London and interview people for junkets all the time. And I sat in front of everyone from Justin Timberlake to, everyone, like literally everyone. Wow. And you'd come away feeling, if they were a bit like quiet or like standoffish, I'd obviously think it was my fault, first of all.
Yeah.
And then think, oh, like, why can't they're being paid to be here? Why can't they just be nice? But it never entered my head that maybe... They're just shy.
They're just shy. And that's because I've done that before as well. I've met people and like thought, oh God, like, what's their problem?
Yeah.
And it's only now that I've been in those situations where I've been like in either interview situations or like just at social events, or, you know, even on set where I'm just like so quiet. And it's not because I'm an asshole. It's not because I'm rude. Mm. It's just because I'm quiet. And I've had like someone that I worked with ages ago say, you know, you come across as really like up yourself because you don't
really.
Because I had lunch in my trailer one day because I was feeling particularly anxious, and there was a lot of people on set, and it was a new job. It was like my first day, and I was doing like a day player job, you know, where you go in for like one episode, and I was just finding it all very overwhelming, and so I just had to be by myself at lunchtime. And he was just like, you know, it's really rude that you don't come and
interesting.
Eat with us.
Yeah, I never would have
even
said that.
And it was like, oh my God, it's not rude. It makes me want to wear like a t-shirt when I'm at parties or like.
Didn't want to come.
Yeah, just saying like, I'm not rude, I'm just shy.
Yeah.
/ anxious.
Yeah.
You know.
But you must have met a lot of very like-minded people through acting, because I imagine we said like a lot of people who act probably have a propensity towards anxiety. And I also think that people who are very anxious tend to have very vivid imaginations and are, I'm going to say, very intelligent and creative people. So has that been a source of comfort and support to you in knowing that you're...
Yeah.
I mean, I presume the actors that you've worked with have their fair share of insecurities as well, and that's something that you guys could bond over.
Yeah. Oh my God, yeah. There's nothing like working with actors, especially actors who are really, you really respect and admire and have looked up to for decades, and for them to say, I don't know what I'm doing here.
Yeah.
I
for them to show their vulnerability.
Yeah.
It's just, I think if we all make a bit of an effort to be, allow ourselves to be more vulnerable.
Yeah. But that's the thing with acting, is that you being vulnerable is such a key part of it. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to be vulnerable. That's what they kind of spend years bashing into you at drama school, is you've got to be vulnerable, you've got to let all your guards down. So I think that's why it does attract so many anxious people, because it means that you're sensitive and you're vulnerable, which means that's so much of what makes up an actor's makeup.
Yeah, and even I suppose, like, you know, you could win an Oscar and then you could go to your next gig and feel out of your depth in that, or you still have to be you know, at the standard that the director wants, or maybe they have a specific thing in mind. Mm. So like the whole way through being an actor, you'll always be open to being vulnerable and having to change and be critiqued. And it's just part of it, I suppose, as well. So there's never, it's never a sure thing.
No. You're always just putting yourself out there in a way that you kind of, you don't have that much control over. Like, because you don't pick what takes they use or whatever, and you're dressed and they put your makeup on and you're kind of just out there for the world, and you're never going to be, you're never going to be everyone's cup of tea.
Yeah.
So like, you kind of have to let go of that need to please people, that need to satisfy
everyone.
It's kind
of good training then as well for anxiety, is to put you into that deep end of it, to have to get used to being accepting of yourself as you are, the way you are, not needing validation from critics or whatever.
Yeah.
And when you think about your career, your future, I don't want to make you feel anxious thinking about it, but when you think about, okay, well, I would assume like most actors want to get in the big movies, the big, what we all see the Hollywood stars getting to, do you have to kind of reconcile that there'd be a trade-off then with being at that level of people recognizing you, and also then the anxiety that would go along with everyone wanting something from you or expecting something from you, or people just knowing you? Is that something that you want to go towards?
I just want to work, and I don't really think too much about, you know, the scale of the work.
Yeah.
Like, I've never really been like, oh, I want to be in Hollywood.
Yes.
I just don't really. I just kind of want to, as long as I'm making work that's interesting and that I'm playing people that are interesting and versatile and stuff that I enjoy, things that I find funny or sad or, you know, the stuff that moves me.
You measure your success then, is to feel like you're enjoying it.
Yeah, it's things that just to produce work that like I'm proud of and have a body of work that's versatile and unique. And so it's less, for me, it's less about scale, and it's certainly nothing to do with fame. And I mean, the having people recognize you or you know, that kind of part of it is, I mean, it's a difficult beast, and it is part and parcel of it. If you are working, that's what's going to happen, and it's something that you just have to accept. And it is difficult for people like me who are as anxious as I am, because it's lovely when people come up to you and say like, oh, I love your work, or I loved you in that show, or whatever. It's lovely, but it's still, if I see people, if I'm sitting on the tube and there's people opposite me and they're whispering and looking at me, and
you're thinking they're saying something bad.
I'm thinking they're going, oh, there's that fucking weird ugly girl from that show. Like, she's so shit. Like, don't say it. Like, I never think it's good. And even when people come up to me and say like, oh, I loved you in whatever, and I'm like, oh, thanks. Like, 2 minutes, I'll be happy. And then I'll be like, oh, they were definitely lying. They were definitely like, they had a bet on with their mates or whatever. Like, and it's just quite, because I don't like to be, and so many actors don't like, ironically, don't like the limelight, you know, at all. And I kind of, unless it's, you know, in your work and you're in a character, that's the only time I kind of want to be looked at.
And also, is it hard? I guess acting takes you to so many different locations where your comfort zone literally is disturbed all the time. So does that give you anxiety, or are you sort of able to feel homely wherever you go? Because for me, that would be a big thing.
Yeah, it can be. Like, it's the, again, it's like that lack of control thing. A therapist once said to me, like, you know, your whole life is a recipe for anxiety and depression, because you crave control and you have none of it. Like, someone literally picks you up in the morning and at a certain time, and they take you to work and you're told when to eat breakfast, and someone else dresses, well, you know, you have your
pick out your clothes,
you pick out your clothes, and people do your makeup, and you're, the only control you have is those moments when the camera's rolling, and then the rest is, you know, you're in the hands of other people. And you're sent off in random locations, and I kind of like it, because it still comes with a with a routine, you know, like you're still, you know that you're going to go and stay in a random hotel for a night and then you'll be on set the next day. And
it's like organized chaos.
Yeah. So I kind of like now I feel like I know the routine of it, and I know as long as I've got like things to do and I've got like books to read and, you know, a pen and paper and, well, my journal. And
so you journal every night?
Yeah. Not every night, but like I journal. I've always journaled, and like it's one of the most useful tools, I think.
Yeah.
I think writing is like the best therapy.
Now that you know that you go to the worst case scenario, you're a worrier, you're an anxious person, but you still have many other amazing qualities. I know we're just focusing on those ones right now. Do you think that you accept yourself now?
I'm working really hard to. I'd probably say that I'm getting there for sure. But it's hard, and I have to kind of remind myself sometimes. And I often, like, I still, you know, if I have a particularly awkward encounter where I've just been so anxious, like in a social situation or on set or something, I come home and I'm like, oh, I get angry with myself. I'm like, why am I so awkward? Why can't I just be like, why can't I just be normal? Why can't I just talk to people the way that everyone else seems to talk to each other? Like, and I have to kind of remind myself to go to just not attack myself. And I'm trying to, as everybody who's, you know, has anxiety or is working on themselves, like, you've got to make your mind a nice place to live in, because you live there forever. And it's a process, and I'm accepting myself as a big part of that, but I wouldn't say I'm there.
But you're open to the idea.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I want to be more like Lily. Like,
yeah. An amazing blueprint to follow, to be like her. And you're working on a short film that you're producing yourself, and that's going to explore anxiety.
Yeah, so it's in the early stages of development, but I've written a short that's basically about social anxiety specifically.
That's amazing.
Yeah, which is, I mean, it's a long process of getting it.
And hopefully people will watch that then and be like, oh, okay, we guess now why she doesn't want to have lunch with us, or why she wants to stand in the corner. Like, just refer to the short and you'll understand.
Yeah, exactly. it's definitely me kind of trying to vocalise what I find really hard to vocalise.
That's a coping mechanism, you know, for me with the podcast, with the books that I've written, as much as other people around the UK and Ireland and America have gotten on to me saying it's helped them so much. It started out as, and it still is for me, it's how I cope by, it's how I normalize it, by having these conversations. And then I come away feeling, oh, I'm not the only one. Or I'm so glad that, obviously I'm not glad that you suffer with it, but I'm glad that, like, it's a common humanity that we all have.
Yeah.
So creating something and being able to channel your anxiety and what you're experiencing through something like a book or the short film that you're going to make is just the best use of that energy, I think. And I think people will respond so well to anything that's you being showing what we all experience. And I can't tell you how many messages I get from people saying that I've articulated almost word for word what they've gone through. And you really do think you're the only person.
Yeah.
That's such a characteristic of anxiety, to feel that you're on your own.
Yeah.
And people just don't talk about it because it's uncomfortable and they don't want to say it. But I guess I'm at the point now where, like, I'm very comfortable with the fact that I'm an anxious person and I have no problem saying I'm not going to that party, I'm feeling overwhelmed.
Yeah.
I guess I've put myself out there as that now, and it's just made my life so much easier.
Really?
Oh, hugely. But then at the same time, you're kind of defined as like Little Miss Anxiety.
Yeah.
Like, I did an event a while ago someone asked, it was a Q&A at the end, and someone said, oh, I have a question for the anxiety girl. And I was like, oh, is that what I am now?
Great.
But look, I take the good with the bad. I want to ask you, before, I know you have to head off to an audition, what do you do these days to make yourself feel a little bit better if you're feeling anxious? What are your go-to techniques? Other than my podcast.
Oh, of course, the podcast. I would say writing is a big thing, like, even if it's just journaling, just getting it out of my head and onto paper just makes everything seem so much more manageable. So that's a key. Also reading fiction, just like escaping for a little bit, for a couple of chapters, I find super, super useful.
Do you bring CBT elements and exercises into your writing, like kind of challenging your thoughts?
Yeah, definitely. I a really useful thing that I learned in CBT was to do like a little grid where you write, if you're having a thought which you know is irrational, to write down the irrational thought as it is, mm-hmm. Just as it is in your head, and then in the next column write a contrasting rational thought using evidence.
Yeah.
So like when I was younger and I was having the issues with my leg and convinced I had a blood clot, I would write down like, I think I have a blood clot in my leg.
Gonna die.
I'm gonna die immediately. And then in the rational column, I would say, well, I've had this many tests done that say that I don't have a blood clot.
What so evidence is there to support your thought?
So things like that I find really helpful.
And that's something that you need to do all the time. Like, even though I've obviously delved so much into this, I still have to be told, like my husband says to me, when I have a headache, I ring him and I say, I have a particularly bad headache right now. And I'm just telling you in case I drop dead and you're wondering why. I'm just telling you, it's probably an aneurysm about to happen. So just letting you know. And he's like, okay, because he's so used to it now. And every now and then he's like, have you been doing your CBT? And I'm like, no, because I'm fine. But no, you're never an expert on it.
It's so true. It's so true. It's such a skill that you should.
So writing and books are the big thing for you.
Yeah.
Do you still go to therapy?
I actually haven't been. I did go fairly regularly ever since I left uni, but I haven't actually been for a while because I feel like I've been, my therapist just said, like, we just got to a point and she said that I was dealing with things really well and that I have all the tools from what we'd done in CBT to just kind of go at it solo, which I've been doing. And I mean, getting on fine. I mean, I have a really great gang of friends, like a good support network, and that's the most important thing for me, is just to be able to talk about stuff really honestly and openly with people. And
well, once you can do that, you found your tribe, that makes the world of difference for anything you're going through.
Yeah.
And for anyone listening who I'm sure will completely identify with a lot of what you're saying, especially with social anxiety, which is something I haven't delved into hugely on its own, is there any bit of advice that you've been given or that you would want to tell someone who feels under pressure to be like, oh, I need to seem like I can go over and have a conversation?
I would say to just
I'm really putting you on the spot now.
No, it's a good question. I would just say it's okay that you're not, that you shouldn't have to go over and say something. Like, you can just take it small and you can just go over to someone and say, like, sorry, I didn't introduce myself earlier. I'm just really shy or really anxious or whatever. And that's just fine. And the world needs people like that.
Yes.
Like, we can't all be extroverted. No. We can't all be the life of the party. Like, we need the guys standing in the corner of the party waiting for an appropriate time to go home.
Yeah.
Like, the world needs that, the difference. So, and it was actually reading Susan Cain's Quiet.
Oh, yes.
A book on introversion that I read earlier this year, which really changed my perspective on it. And it just made me realise that, like, oh my God, like, I don't need to be an extrovert. I don't need to change. I don't need to be loud. I can just be anxious. I can just be quiet because it's just who I am. And it's not changing anytime soon.
No, so just work with it rather than work against it.
Just accept it.
Yeah. And what can we look forward to seeing you in next?
Oh, God, probably next would be, I guess, season two of Sex Education.
And what about Emma?
Yeah.
Is that happening? Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah.
Emma.
I think so.
With Bill Nighy.
Yes. And I mean, that's not...
Amber Anderson.
That's not... I mean, we've literally just finished filming that.
Okay, so
that's
not for a while.
That won't be for a while. But, yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm so delighted to have had this time to sit down with you. You're a breath of fresh air. And it's so reassuring to know that people who you see on the screen, who you hold up as these perfect people who don't feel anything, that you're actually a human being, which I know already, but it's just nice to be reassured that we're all, no matter what people are doing, if someone is a librarian or if someone is, you know, winning an Oscar, we're all the same, we're all going through the same thing, we all have the same insecurities, and we're all in this together. So Tanya, thank you so much
for
giving me your time. I've just loved chatting with you and you're amazing.
Aw, thanks, man.
Thanks.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
The easiest way to access Owning It Real Time is to head to the link in the episode description or episode details, whatever you call them, show notes. You will find the link in there at the top. You can sign up right away for Owning It Real Time and access the full library of 10 situation-specific audio guides that will help you own your anxiety even more than you've ever done before.